I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues UK Bills podcast. We've got myself, Matt, you've got Robin, and you've got Mark talking Bills news with a UK twist. And it's week 9. It's time to ground those Jets.
But I see first, what you did there.
Yeah. See, I can wax lyrical sometimes. I can be one of those punny guys.
Yeah, no, it's classic.
I just took flight and went off of it.
Now stop.
It's only on the end of the 9/11 gag and we're going to get taken.
We do that. We're off the air. We'll be off the air if that happens.
But, God, I hope that's not. I hope that's not the score.
Whoa, yeah, that'd be interesting if that was the score.
I do like a safety. It's probably a safety involved somewhere.
Have to be.
We ground the Jets on with 9/11.
God, let's get off this topic quickly.
Let's move on quickly.
Let's move on quick. Before we talk Jets, let's talk trade deadline. It sounded like on that Tuesday it was just like a transfer window in Premier League football. The fact that the deal was announced after the 4 p.m. deadline, but two moves, Himes and Marlowe in.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts on both of those?
Well, we've lost Zach Moss as well. Let's remember he did go in the other direction. Well, conditional sixth round pick. And Zach Moss and Naheem Hines. Good business.
I want to know what that conditional is. Obviously, it's got to be some sort of conditions.
I think it can go to a fifth. It usually depends on like appearances, doesn't it? Like depends on how long they stay with the team and that kind of thing. And then you get a kind of bump and it goes up to a fifth if they do better. A bit like an appearance fee, I think.
But yeah, no, I think it's good. I mean, there are people there that are saying that it's a backwards move. You're taking snaps away from Cook doing the exact same role. But I think with Hines, you're getting a guy who pretty much is a pass catching threat in his 4 years he's been here.
Yeah.
Over 1,200 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns rushing. And
yeah.
1,800 nearly receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. So
yep.
You've got a guy who is another weapon.
Yeah.
For this offense.
If I'm honest, I'm underwhelmed. Considering we put in calls to Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara and we ended up with Naheem Hines, I'm a bit like... I mean, you know, it's depth is good. He can probably do more than Zach Moss could. I was never overly convinced with him. Does he offer more? He's another third down back for me. Mm. Who knows? Maybe we unlock him. Yeah, it's like I'm not. You know, it's not. It's not. You know, whatever. Considering what other teams did, it would have been nice to have made a splash. There's, you know, considering we're not one of the youngest rosters in the league, considering, you know, there's this year feels like the window is wide open for us. Why not go for, you look at what McCaffrey has done since he's been at the 49ers. He's changed the entire dynamic of that team and what they can do.
Yeah.
Is Naheem Hines going to do that for us? So it's fine, he looks decent enough, but let's not try and say that he's fantastic when he's all right. He's not bad, but I don't think it's gonna like, you know, this isn't going from making us, you know, to like genuine, like massive title favorite. It's fine.
It's another weapon, and for the record, we actually did not inquire about Kamara. Apparently, right. According to Brandon Bean in his presser.
And GMs are never known to lie, are they ever?
Yes,
that's never happened before.
They always make swear on the Bible before all
yes.
their
press
conferences, uh-huh. and uh-huh. it's always replayed back to them. Yeah, it is. It's a depth thing. It also is a bit of a replacement. I know they didn't hold on to Duke Johnson, and Jameson Crowder. Is he going to be coming back? He kind of like fits into that role. Possible slight leadership for James Cook as well, and. Yeah. Dare I say, a kind of not a replacement for Singletary, but if you're not going to extend Singletary at the end of the year, it's probably a good idea to have a useful guy around as well.
You've got a guy that when he did sub in when Jonathan Taylor was injured, did have some decent games in there. Obviously, is that Swiss Army knife what we thought Isaiah McKenzie could be with obviously the sweeps. He can rush. He can actually play wildcat, returners, play slot. So he's got that option. He's got that, and we can open up that playbook even more with the weapons. But I just think I think it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens and how they actually play on there. Because if you get a guy who leads all pretty much running backs, I think I'll have to go double check all the stats. Since being drafted in the fourth round in 2018, leading him in receiving yards, you've got that guy who is filling what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean wanted. They went after McKissick, didn't get him. They yeah. obviously got James Cook on there. But I read that Bean had been coveting Hines for at least a season or two. So they knew they wanted that type of guy. And obviously, they've managed to get him for what hopefully is going to be a steal with that conditional sixth to a fifth and Zach Moss.
I think we're all hoping that he becomes Darren Sproles Mark II, right? And if he does, then yeah. then that's a hell of a weapon to have. I suspect he's going to be Niemheim's 1.5, and he'll do better in Buffalo than he would have done at Indianapolis. But I mean, he's not going to set the world alight for me.
No. Oh, yeah, no. And as I say, it shows what real depth and no glaring holes that we have. And obviously, the second one for seventh-round pick to the Falcons, we bring back Dean Marlowe on there, which I think is not the splashiest of splashes for Train, but it's a guy who's been in McDermott and Frazier's system all the time, knows the Bills very well, knows how can play as the veteran present in there. Obviously, I don't know if they ever went for some of the well-known safeties on there, because I think there was talk about, or probably just rumour set up by someone, Jonathan Abraham of the Raiders or something like that. But the fact that they haven't gone out and gone medium to high tier on that safety probably means that Poyer's not as badly injured as we think and what everyone's making out to be. The fact they've got Marlowe in for seventh gives him that depth and gives him someone who knows that playbook and come in and be that veteran presence.
Yeah, I think it's a sensible move for exactly those reasons. Interesting that they've gone with someone who knows the system. And I think that's probably a massive draw. Just fit right in. You're not expecting them to learn the way that they're going to play in the coverages and the looks. That makes a lot more sense. And yeah, I think again from a depth perspective, it's another good sensible move. Well done. It's not splashy but functional.
Yeah. You've already lost Micah Hyde for the season. You don't know how up and down Poyer's going to be. Yeah. What you really don't want is Hamlin or Johnson to suddenly get an injury, because then you really are looking at it, aren't you? So
yeah.
And the one interesting stat that both Hines and Marlowe will be able to do, there'll be, I think there's one other player as well, I can't remember who it was, they'll actually play full 18 game season.
Ah, nice.
Obviously been traded to the Bills before they had their bye week with the Falcons and with the Colts. And obviously the Bills have had their bye week. So they're going to be playing all the way through the season and be one of the only handful of people to play a full 18 games.
That'll make for a great pub quiz question.
17 games. Yeah, 17 games.
Yeah, he'll play 18 games, though, won't he? In a 17 game.
Yeah, season. Yeah, 18 games. Yeah, so we've got a bit of history making going on.
No, there you go.
I like it. Good fact. Good fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Me and my facts and all that. And we're back to reality. Jets.
Yeah.
They're 5-5-3. We're 6-1. How do you see that going? First and foremost.
I think this is going to be a test, not an insurmountable test, because you've got Josh Allen on offense, but I think the Jets defense is pretty good. And I've managed to dig up some stats around it.
Oh, that's right. Good.
I think the Jets defense, I learned a new, it's not an acronym, it's an initialism, EPA, expected points added. To, I'd be honest, I'd never come across before. But shout out to Buffalo Ceilings on the subject of puns, because that's just fantastic, Buffalo Ceilings. Jets defense, third in EPA, expected points added and in points saved. Fifth in QB rating and yards attempted. And we'll probably spend, you might have some other comments on Sauce Gardner, but he's fourth in points saved and eighth in EPA, and he's 12th in completion percentage allowed. So I think we can score on them, but I don't think it will be a cakewalk for them. I think the reason why they're 5-3 is that they can hang around in games and do enough to win. And that means you have a decent defense. So I don't expect the Bills to blow them away offensively.
But I mean, you're looking, obviously we talk Sauce Gardner and all that, obviously how he's been, how everyone's saying, obviously he's locked down, not given up much receptions and all that. Just who really has he had to,
yeah, had
to cover?
Has he had to cover Diggs? Yeah, never had to cover Diggs. Yeah.
He's covered what? Tyler Boyd, maybe Jamar Chase, obviously Hill or Waddle.
Not bad.
I mean,
Amari Cooper in week one, probably not bad.
But then you're looking at the teams. You've got teams that actually like to run the ball. The Giants, well, that's preseason, sorry. The Ravens run the ball a lot more than they throw. The Browns run the ball a lot more than they throw. Steelers run a lot more than they throw. Packers.
They don't do anything very well, the Steelers.
Yeah. But the Packers run the ball more than they throw at the moment. So it seems the only way they can actually score points and get in games with the lack of wide receivers they've got.
Yeah.
The fact that they've played more run-heavy teams rather than actual pass-happy teams. Maybe the Bengals are probably the, what do you call it, the exception on there. They've thrown...
And they got thrashed in that game.
Yeah, Bengals won 27-12. And obviously, the Dolphins, they beat them 40-17, but they had Skylar Thompson as the quarterback. And they had Mozart actually run on him. So he didn't have to throw that much. So another running team.
The Jets to me feel like one of those teams that was riding sort of like, and they get on this wave of emotion and momentum, you know, a decent four wins on the bounce, and all of a sudden everyone's talking them up as being this side that's got this fantastic defense. I totally agree with you. Then you just beat the Steelers, and we know how poo they are. They beat a Dolphins side that was on its third string quarterback. They beat an imploding Packers, a Broncos that, you know, I think us four getting seven mates could stop that offense scoring. And then the first time they come up against someone vaguely functional on offense in the Patriots, who aren't particularly great, if we're honest, offensively, but they were functional. And that defense, could, like second half especially, couldn't stop them. I do think the defense is okay. I think Sauce Gardner looks decent. I think the Williams brothers are good, and they will stop fair to middling sides. Probably, and they will put in some stops against like good teams like us, the Chiefs. They will find a way to stop some downs, and we're not going to score 40 points on them because the defense is decent enough. Salah is a good defensive head coach. They'll do a good job, but where the defense is in comparison to our offense isn't the reason we're going to win this game. The reason we're going to win the game is because of who they've got playing quarterback and frankly how gash Zach Wilson has been in the last couple of weeks. I think our defense will have its way with them.
I think you're looking at it. I mean, where are they? Their rush defense, they are 11th. They're giving up 864 rush yards at 3 point yards per attempt, and the Bills rush defense is 20th, 860, averaging 122.9 yards per game and 19 yards per average of 5.
And that's a massive change since the because we were way higher than that up until the Packers game, where they that's all they did, right? And so those stats is a little bit blurry because they didn't even try and throw the ball on it.
And the Jets are giving up 108 yards per game on the rush defense. And then you mentioned the pass defense. At the moment, they are the 13th in pass defense, giving up just over 1600 yards per game. They're ranked just below the Bills.
Yeah, 10th. Yeah,
with 207. Obviously, cube. And was there? Where's the other one? Obviously, interceptions. Doing decent on there, so they have got decent defense, as we mentioned. But you're looking at the opponents, and you expect them with that defense. And Quinnen Williams has actually had become a beast this year. But you expect them with some of that offense, like Skylar Thompson, Jacoby Brissett, Russell Wilson, who's gone downhill and all that, Aaron Rodgers going downhill. You expect them to have that sort of stuff in the pass game and interception rate.
They're an okay defense. Getting away from that. I think they're a decent defense. They've not been tested against one of the top offenses, except for maybe the Bengals, and the Bengals thrashed them. So it's this is kind of next test for them.
And they're not. And one thing that I feel confident with this offense is they're not a blitzy team. They only blitz
four-man rush rate, according to Couple One, 81%. Four-man, fourth highest in the NFL, almost the same as the Bills.
And then time they brought, well, I'm looking on Pro Football. I use Pro Football Reference as well on there, but they blitz pretty much on 15% of quarterback dropbacks. That's what, 15.6, which is just a little bit more than the Bills on their blitz rate.
Yeah, it's not much, is it?
But they will generate a lot of pressure, and that's something that Josh Allen thrives on. We see when people get pressure and start blitzing Josh, he'll drop them off. He'll actually pick them off like that. And we've dealt with the pass rushes in previous games. And if Quinnen Williams does it, they just chip him with the tight end, or at least double team. But there's not really anyone that scares me on that defensive line for the Jets, other than really Williams, to be honest.
Yeah, they've had a few injuries there as well. They've had, I think, Vera Tucker is one that was having a very decent season, but went out injured the game before the Patriots game, and I don't think is likely to be back. They've got a few knocks. They've got a few that are out as well. There's sort of like CJ Uzomah and people like that that potentially aren't going to be back on the offensive side of the ball as well. So, as we know about Mekhi Becton at tackle. So they've got quite a few that are out.
Breece Hall is out for the... So they picked up James Robinson, but I can see a little bit of a drop off in the in the run game now. They haven't got that home run hitter in Hall. And to be honest, they're only 18th in total yards for Rush with 870. That's just what, 10 yards more than the Bills in 20th are. And their yards per game on there, they're 20th on that, with 108.8 yards per game. We're 14th of the 122. So we big up the run game for it. But I think that was an inflation of what Breece Hall actually managed to do. And they've now got to rely on Zach Wilson to to try and win that game. And that is
fine by me, Matt. Because, my God, I watched the Patriots game and some of the mistakes that that guy makes. Yeah. I realize he's young, but some of the decision making, there was one where he attempted to throw a ball away and he didn't manage to get out of bounds and it was intercepted. It's if our defense plays like it can and our secondary plays like it can, I can imagine Matt Milano having a field day in this game. I think he's going to have. I think he's going to.
Let's hope he plays. He was on the injury. Von Miller may be out. Poy may be out as well. That may give him a little bit of comfort.
To be honest, I don't think Miller will be out. I think they had to. Obviously, if he's got a little bit of an issue, they're not really going. They're going to put him on a vet rest, and they said vet rest / ankle, didn't they?
Yeah,
for him.
Well, they rest one day, and then it was an ankle the following for Thursday.
I think they called it rest day / ankle. So,
I think it was because it was a vet rest on the Wednesday, but then he didn't practice on the Thursday because of the ankle. That's why the slash is there.
Then I would take that a pinch of salt, really, to be honest. But the one thing that's good from that list is there's one name missing, which is good news for us.
Stevenson.
Tre'Davious.
Hey? Oh, and Tre'Davious, yeah.
So you got Tre'Davious White.
Does he have to appear on the injury report?
Yes. I still think they have to declare him.
Oh, okay.
He's still officially questionable, isn't he?
I think he's still officially officially, fuck's sake. Officially questionable. There we go. Yes.
That should be the name of the podcast from now on. Officially questionable.
Yeah, I'll try saying that every welcome to the episode of officially. Fuck it. It'll start again. But I think with that, he's out of the red jersey. He was actually involved in the drills and all that. So it's potential that we may see him. And I think they had to activate him to the 53, and because I think his end is coming up to 21 days, but it's a good sign. And what an easier game for him to come back than having to face a Zach Wilson led offense.
Yeah, it's like you're coming back to a preseason friendly.
Exactly.
He just doesn't scare me in the slightest. My other podcast, there's a Jets fan on there. He's been giving it the big one for a long time about the state of the Jets, and Zach Wilson, man, he's just not that good. He just doesn't have it. He makes a lot of bad decisions. He's not particularly accurate. He can have the odd good drive, but you know that there's a good two or three mistakes in him every game.
Yeah. And I think what you said about obviously Becton missing, Vera Tucker gone, through injury. The Jets have allowed 19 sacks on offense this season, which is 22nd. The Bills have only allowed 11 sacks, which is second in the league.
You don't bring down Josh Allen, though, do you? You just don't.
Well, yeah, it's true. And we've had pretty much a solid with a question mark, obviously, of Spencer Brown, but Quesenberry's come in and done a really good job as the backup, that we've pretty much had the same five or six offensive line pretty much for the whole season, and it shows what work has actually been done and what Cromer's actually getting this offensive line to do, as well as Josh being Harry Houdini and getting out of tackles. So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's going
to, the thing I want to see more than anything else is I'd like to see a complete performance. I don't want to see, you know, a crap first half and then pull away second half. I don't want to see the Packers first half and then we stop playing. And I've taken a lot of stick on Twitter about my ranting about the Packers game from fans of teams like Jacksonville that are all like, oh, I wish my team was as crap as yours is when we're getting hammered. And I get it. It's a fair point. But, you know, our ambitions and aspirations are different to teams like the Jaguars this year. And I just think that getting into good habits and good standards now bodes well for future plans of where we want to end up. So yeah. I would like to see, you know, if a good solid performance, even if we're not winning by loads, I just want it to be, you know, a performance of four quarters.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that's got to be one of, we talk about the keys to the game. I think it is getting that competent four quarter Bills team.
Yeah.
Because if we can carry on with the run game, which, and don't abandon it, 'cause I say in the last few games, Singletary has gone off on one with these runs. He's been averaging what was his average at the moment? About 4.8 yards per carry or something this year at the moment. 4.5 yards. Per carry, average, 46.1 yards per game. But you're feeding him. Don't abandon it just to go and inflate Josh's stats, even though it'll be good for me for being as a Josh Allen fantasy owner.
Hell yeah.
Stick to that run game. Don't abandon it. And I know they want to get Cook involved. They want to get Hines involved, but if Singletary's doing the job, just stick with him. Make him your number one. He's running back number one. They just need to stick with that.
Yeah, let Devin rock.
I can't. That's one of the keys. Continue with the run game and the pin and pull, because that has been getting us a lot of yardage and actually breaking off some good runs. So
it would be really interesting to see if the Bills could win a game as a run first offense. If that were just possible, if they could just manage a game like that, and if it could go through, and you've still got Josh to pull out a few throws if you need to, because then the play action would be absolutely deadly, wouldn't it? They always ran first down and second down, but second down there's a play action. It would kill them, wouldn't it? I'd look forward to that. Just see what happens if they bring Hines in as well.
It'll be interesting to see actually, because Ramondre Stevenson had his way with the Jets defense. This heralded Jets defense. He had a really big game for the Patriots, and you wonder if someone like a Hines, who's a similar-ish in terms of skill set, might be able to have a similar type performance with those injuries on the defensive front for the Jets. I think losing to the Patriots is actually a massive deal for this, because like I said, they were on a bit of this momentum, four wins in a row, and they've got this, you know, that you start to get like similar to what the Giants had, this kind of like, oh, we're never going to lose a game. Now they have lost a game, kind of burst the bubble a little bit. And I think that plays in our favour. You know, they've shown that they've got vulnerability. They know where it is. Those questions are there, and I think that helps us out.
It's a bad team to play next after you've just lost as well.
100%. Yeah. It really is.
And just obviously emphasise then, and I think it just on the back of that, I just saw a tweet by Andrew Silano saying, the Bills are the only divisional leader that's yet to win a divisional game.
Yeah, only one to beat the three divisional leaders.
They played one.
Chiefs, the Titans, and the Ravens as well, who are the three divisional leaders.
We've only had one divisional game against the Dolphins, and
everyone, every single player was injured.
Yes, every single one, including the players who played in the game. They all got stretched off for heat exhaustion.
Yeah,
but I think that is one of the keys, and then we just go from there. Obviously, it's now getting that slot is going to be the key in there, because you're going to have, I don't know who Gardner's going to actually take on. Is he going to take Diggs? Is he going to go Davis?
You would
last week against the Packers, Alexander went for Davis 9 times out of 10.
He hid.
So, yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. This would be awesome for Sauce Gardner. Actually, it'll make it. Oh, Robin's plunged himself into.
Yeah, this is how late we're recording. The timing lights gone off.
I think it'll be interesting because this is a hell of a test for him. I'd love it if he goes up 1-on-1 with Diggs, just because I'm actually genuinely quite interested to see how he gets on. That's what he should be doing, right? He needs to go up if he thinks he's as good as everyone thinks he is. Let's put you up against the big name, and then you cover him and let Gabe Davis have his way with you.
Yeah,
I think this game is a Shakir game.
Interesting.
I think the fact. You see how he's broken out this year. Everything. Let me just grab his stats up if I can for him. But every game he's improved a lot more. And the fact that if you've got DJ Reed covering Davis, Sauce, guarding Diggs in the middle, it opens up a lot more. Or the likes of Shakir, and gives him that opportunity to actually to really impress. I mean, what's the stats? The receiving stats, okay, 23 yards against the Ravens on two targets, 75 yards against Pitt, and then obviously 14 yards against the Chiefs. But having the middle open and could really see him actually trust Josh him a little bit more to give him that safety net, because we know obviously McKenzie can do it, but give Shakir someone that no one has got tape on that much, give him special plays, and he could play outside, inside, so you spread him out, keep him in the slot, put him outside, you're always going to have one of those top two cornerbacks on Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. Move Shakir out wide. Who's going to cover them then? Their slot, their third cornerback. So I think it could be a game where we see a good game from Shakir.
Yeah, I hope that. I just hope they don't kind of gild the lily a little bit, or they don't try and out-clever themselves. Like, if what they've got is a strong enough offense, and if you get Gardner goes up against Diggs, fine, then Davis is going to have himself a day. Don't try and second guess yourself. Just do that and see if they can stop you. And if they can, then you can bring in Shakir, bring in some McKenzie, bring in some pass catching running backs as well. Keep the run game going, but don't play your game. Don't adjust your game for the opposition. Play your game and try and get them stop you. And if they can stop you, hey, great. Go to your plan B and then your plan C. But don't play your plan C first, because you'll almost trip yourself.
Play simple, play smart.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
there you go. Done. Play smart, win the game. Sorted.
There you go. Lovely.
Sorted. So, done.
Yeah.
So final predictions, and if there is a key, final predictions. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'm going to say 27-13, Buffalo.
27-13.
Just before the season started, we all did our game by game predictions, and I said that the Jets would win this game. So I have to be consistent with pre-week one Robin. So I'm now going to try and come up with a scenario by which the Jets win. It's Jets playing at home, nasty. They'll be chippy. They'll get out of them. They'll have seen what the Packers did. They'll try and start some sort of trouble to try and put them off. They'll do some cheap stuff. They'll sort of bump and run the receivers. They'll need a turnover, probably more than one turnover, and they'll need two decent Zach Wilson drives. So I don't think this will happen, but I'll make a prediction anyway, and I'll say Jets 24-21. And they'll get them in there. They'll do a 5-minute drive at the end, 21-17. Bills have a turnover or something, red zone turnover, and then they'll drive down the field and score 24-21.
Well, I'll say this: the Jets aren't flying out and are grounded in New Jersey.
Ah, he's brought it back. Brilliant.
There it is again. He's only got one, but he's going to keep using it.
The fact that we're second in points in the scoring offense with 29, I can see us matching that, going one better, providing that we don't implode like the third and fourth quarter last week. If we can play solid, good football like we did in the first quarter and a bit against the Packers, I'm seeing a 31-17 Bills victory.
Okay.
Marvellous.
So,
I'll take any of those except for Robbins.
Yeah. Two Bills wins and a Jets win.
Yeah, I can't pick the Bills every week.
Well, yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, I could, yeah, but
you
know.
Could.
I think I've only gone against us once and we won, and that was the Rams game that we won.
Yeah.
Don't turn into an Alex when he was on the show and always being the pessimistic. Yeah.
I don't think this will happen. I fully expect the Bills to win, but you know, let's just throw something in there. It'd be crazy.
If Alex is listening, I'd love to know what his prediction is. I bet he's predicted a Jets win in this one too.
Yeah. Probably has, to be honest. I wouldn't put it past him. But no, that is the preview. Obviously, make sure people get down to the Fitzrover Bell. They're back for this week and say all 6 and 9:25 games. If you're in Manchester, I think it's Junior Jacks that are hosting it.
And I believe, shout out to legendary UK Bills fan Buffalo O'Bills, the voice of the Buffalo Bills in Ireland, is in Manchester this weekend watching the game at at pre-established place in Manchester whose name escapes me again.
Junior Jacks.
Yes, Buffalo O'Bills, the man, the myth, the legend is there.
So get down there if you can, especially in Manchester. I know they put a lot of work into it, and I hear it's a great venue on there. So get up there. Obviously, get down to London, the Bell as well. Great atmosphere there. Follow all three of us on our socials. Follow us at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook. And for Robin, Mark, myself, Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Continue subscribing and following. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.